the meeting now, please? Would you all join me in the serenity? God.
Prepare me to serenity, to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and wisdom to know the difference. Amen.
I've asked Alexis to read the 12 steps and traditions. Alexis, would you please come up and read the 12 steps and traditions?
Hi, my name's Alexis, and I've been a member of Clarksburg's Wednesday night, excuse me, Together We Can Make It Out teen group for 6 years now. This is the preamble to the 12 steps. Our team, part of the Al-Anon family groups, is a fellowship of young people whose lives have been affected by alcoholism and a family member or close friend. We help each other by sharing our experience, strength, and hope. We believe alcoholism is a family disease because it affects all the members emotionally and sometimes physically. Although we cannot change or control our parents, we can detach from their problems while continuing to love them. We do not discuss religion or become involved with any outside organizations. Our sole topic is the solution of our problems. We're always careful to protect each other's anonymity as well as that of the Al-Anon and AA members. By applying the 12 steps to ourselves, we begin to grow mentally, emotionally, and spiritually. We will always be grateful to Alateen for giving us a wonderful, healthy program to live by and enjoy. These are the 12 steps. 1, we admitted we are powerless over alcohol, that our lives have become unmanageable. 2, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. 3, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood him. 4, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. 5, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. 6, we're entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. 7, humbly asked him to remove our shortcomings. 8, made a list of all persons we had harmed and become willing to make amends to them all. 9, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood him, praying only for knowledge of his will for us and the power to carry that out. 12, having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we try to carry this message to others and to practice these principles in all of our affairs. These are the 12 traditions. 1, our common welfare should come first. Personal progress for the greatest number depends upon unity. 2, for our group purpose, there is but one authority, a loving God as he may express himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants, and they do not govern. 3, the relatives of alcoholics, when gathered together for mutual aid, may call themselves an Al-Anon family group, provided that, as a group, they have no other affiliation. The only requirement for membership is that there be a problem of alcoholism in a relative or friend. 4, each group should be autonomous, except in matters affecting another group or Al-Anon or AA as a whole. 5, each Al-Anon family group has but one purpose, to help families of alcoholics. We do this by practicing the 12 steps of AA ourselves, by encouraging and understanding our alcoholic relatives, and by welcoming and giving comfort to families of alcoholics. 6, our Al-Anon family groups ought never endorse, finance, or lend our name to any outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary spiritual aim. Although a separate entity, we should always cooperate with Alcoholics Anonymous. 7, every group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8, Al-Anon 12-step work should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9, our groups as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10, the Al-Anon family groups have no opinion on outside issues, hence our name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, TV, and films. We need guard with special care the anonymity of all AA members. 12, Anonymity is the foundation of all our traditions, ever reminding us to place principles above personalities. Thank you.
Thank you. I'm Mickey.
I'm
Mickey. And I'm from Chesapeake, Ohio. And I feel very honored to be able to introduce the outing speaker to you today because she is one of my very best friends, and I've known her for about 5 years, I think. And in the past month, I've got to really know her, and she's saved me a lot of times, as a matter of fact. And I've seen her grow from a little girl into a great woman, I think, in my opinion. And I feel she also has a very good program, which you will soon be able to see. And with that, I give you Amanda.
A little bit taller than Mickey. Hello, I'm Amanda, and I'm very grateful to be here today.
Amanda.
Well, wait, let me be honest. I'm not grateful to be here right now, but I've been grateful to be here this weekend, so... I guess a good place to start is from the beginning. My dad is the alcoholic in my family. He's not my real dad. My mom was pregnant and my real father left. And she met this man through her brother, and he needed a light housekeeper. So that's how my mom met my dad. When I was 3 months old, they got married, and I think when I was a year old, he adopted me for $3. He loves to tell that story. I had a good life growing up. I had everything I ever wanted as a baby, I can remember. I never went without anything. I don't remember a lot of the early years, things that happened or a lot of the fights and a lot of the times that he would drink. He didn't drink all the time. There would just be things that would make him mad, or he'd have a bad day, and I guess he decided he needed to drink. When my mom met my dad, he had been sober for 8 years, and I guess she really didn't know anything. She knew about alcoholism because she had grown up, her dad was an alcoholic, but I guess she thought it had been 8 years. Can you hear me? Oh, okay, now you can hear me. My dad had been sober for 8 years, and I guess she thought that was a long time and he wasn't going to drink anymore. Anyways, he would just drink occasionally. I don't remember from the time before the age of 5, I would say. I don't remember a lot that went on. I take it that they were happy for the first couple of years because he didn't drink. My dad always loved me. I guess I was kind of his pride and joy. He always took care of me, and I can remember people knowing me that I didn't even know because my dad had introduced me to him, and he calls me Muggs, and that's how most people knew me. From the time I was a baby, people know me, and they didn't know me as Muggs. The earliest thing that I can remember is my dad has a temper when he has a temper when he's not drinking. But I remember he came home from work one day, and I guess I was probably not very big. I guess I was still in diapers. And he came in, and you can tell when my dad's drinking. He doesn't even have to say anything. You just know there's something in his face and in his eyes that you just want to run right then. He came in, and he was yelling at my mom, and my mom had started crying. And even at that age, I can remember being scared. Kind of sad to look back and think of a 2 or 3 year old child maybe being scared. Things went on, and I guess he would go without drinking for a year, and then he'd drink again, and he'd go in the hospital, and he'd get he'd get better for a while. He would, that same incident that I was talking about, he came home and I was so scared that I ran out of the house with my blanket across the street and I said, please don't hurt my mom. I guess that's when I began to realize at that age that there was something wrong. But my dad never hurt my mother and I in any physical way. He was always a good provider for us. Even when he would drink, he would make sure that the bills were taken care of, that we had something to eat. And he was a good man. He's a good man to us. We never went without anything. Some of the incidents that I remember, it's real fuzzy for me. I don't remember even sitting down and thinking about all this and going back. I just really can't remember a lot. I guess maybe I've blocked it out. Some of it's hard for me to remember, and I don't really remember, and maybe it's not time for me to remember. But the thing that I remember most is his temper and how scared I was. He would just come home and just with one hand take and clear everything off of a bar. He would throw things. He put his foot through a television set one time. I always knew when something was going to go wrong. He got this attitude about himself. And if my mom and I would leave and we'd come back, and he would, I can remember this, he'd be sitting out on our porch swing, and he'd have Anne Murray playing as loud as he could. I know our whole neighborhood could hear it. And he'd be sitting, laying on the swing, swinging, and my mom and I would just keep going because we knew he was drinking. I never realized that anything was wrong with our family. Well, I guess I realized it, but I guess I didn't want to face it. I thought maybe that's the way everybody's family was. But my dad didn't drink all the time. He was certainly good to us. And maybe that's just the only way that he could handle things. My mom was in Al-Anon from, I guess, the time that they got married. I don't really remember that. But she would take me to meetings and stuff. And I always wondered. I sat and I looked at all these people and I thought, do they have kids? You know, how do their kids feel? And I don't remember having a lot of hatred towards my dad. I felt guilty when I felt anything bad towards him because he'd taken care of me. And I thought, you know, I can't feel anything. This is my dad. How can you hate your dad? Wait a second. I'm shaking so bad. Gosh. Oh, let's see. My dad worked at a mental hospital, if that says anything. I guess that's why he worked there. He belonged there. I'm going to feel bad when he listens to this. Maybe I shouldn't have said that. Anyway, let's see. My mom and dad fought a lot. I remember that. I remember the fight and being so scared, and I wanted to make them stop. I can remember being little and just not knowing what to do, feeling so helpless and so scared. I was always afraid he was going to hurt my mom. That's the only time that I got angry at him was when I guess I felt I needed to protect her. You know, I was 6 years old and I was going to protect my mom, you know. It's kind of silly to look back now, but time went by and things were better off and on. She would file for divorce, we'd move out or we'd go someplace, and then we'd come back and they'd get back together. She did that a lot, probably about 5 times. That lawyer's really rich by now, by the way. And it confused me. I thought, how can you 1 minute love somebody. And then the next minute, you're yelling and screaming like that. I don't think I ever blamed anything on my dad. I had a lot of resentments towards him, I guess, now, because I was afraid he would hurt my mom. But I never hated him. I can remember times when he'd go off drinking. And this is what I thought was crazy. My mom was crazy. My dad wasn't crazy. My dad would go for a while. He wouldn't drink. And then he'd get drunk. And I knew how he was going to act. I knew he was going to be hateful. I knew he was going to have a temper. I knew not to say anything to him. But when my dad got drunk, Lord knew how my mom was going to act. I mean, I didn't know if she was going to be crying, if she was going to hate him, if she was going to sue for divorce again. I can remember going and looking for my dad. He would go off drinking, and my mom would just drive around all night. We went 2 hours away from home looking for my dad one night, and I thought, why is she doing this? They yell, they fight, they scream. She tells him to leave, and then she goes looking for him. Let's see. My mind's going blank. My mom, she always took care of me. We depended a lot on one another. We only had each other for a while. I guess that's why I felt I needed to protect her. She didn't have anybody else. She always took care of me. And I just felt the need to protect my mom from him. As time went by, I began to realize that things just weren't right. That's not the way things would be. I couldn't bring home friends because I didn't know if when I got home he was going to be mad, if he was going to be in a bad mood. My dad's not a very loving man. I've never heard him tell my mom that he loves her. He can tell me at times when, but he just doesn't show affection very well. When I was little, I guess he did. We've looked through pictures, and he's always hugging and kissing on me, and he was just proud of me, I guess, but he never showed my mom any kind of love, and I can remember that. The only affection, or the only sign of affection I saw towards my mom was temper and rage. That's the only kind of emotion I thought that he showed her. I remember my mom talking about AA and Al-Anon. I heard about it all my life. I knew my dad went to this place called the Clubhouse, and I loved it. It was great. There was these old men, and I would kiss this guy on the cheek, and he would pay me $1 if I'd kiss him on the cheek. It was great. It was wonderful. They'd buy me pop. Every time I went there, they had me pop and candy and cookies, and they always bought me Christmas gifts and sent me birthday gifts, and it was wonderful. I loved this place. But I never understood what it was. I didn't realize what was going on. You know, I just thought it was a place to go and get money and pop. You know? I didn't realize it was a place where my dad went for sanity sometimes. But my mom made me go to my first Alateen meeting when I was 11. That seems like a long time ago. I remember going in there, and I didn't want to go. I thought, I don't have a problem. This doesn't really involve me. My dad had been sober for a couple years then, and I just thought, I don't need to go. There's nothing wrong with me. I walked in that room, and there was four guys. They were old. They were like 15, 16, 17. That was old. I was 11 years old. But there's this one, and he was so good looking. At 11 years old, I can remember this. And that's the reason I went back the next week. At the beginning, I guess the group had just recently gotten started again, and We didn't say the Serenity Prayer, or we didn't do any of the steps or anything like that. We told jokes. That's what we did the whole hour, which now seems kind of silly because we have such a great meeting, but at the time, that's what I needed. I had never learned how to laugh, you know, at things, and I walked in there, and it was just like they told jokes, and they were funny, and some of them were even good-looking, so that's just what I needed, you know? There's this lady there, and she was our sponsor, and just from the moment I saw her, I loved her. She had this laugh, and she snorted, and that's the thing that I remember more than anything from about her is her laugh. Things went by that way for a while, and my mom told me I only had to go to 6 meetings, but that guy was still there, so I went back even after the 6 meetings. For a long time, things went on that way. We just laughed and told jokes, and then more people started coming in, and the group began to change. I guess we all started to grow up a little bit. I was probably 12 by then. We started to do Serenity Prayer, the steps now and then. Wasn't anything real serious at the time. We would talk and someone would have the meeting, and I remember they made me cheer, what, GR, that was it, after I was probably 13 at the time. And I just thought I was wonderful. I was Miss Alateen. I was just hot stuff. Okay. We began to grow as a group. I remember them telling me, at the beginning I didn't talk a whole lot, I don't think. I just sat and listened because they told dirty jokes, and I was 11 at the time. But they told me that my dad was sick, and that it was a problem, and it was a disease. And I thought, my dad does not have a disease. There's nothing wrong with him. He just drinks every once in a while, and he has a temper. There's nothing wrong with him. When I thought of a disease or a sickness, I thought of cancer or something like that. I didn't think of him drinking as a disease. For a long time, I didn't understand that. They told me to picture the word sick across his forehead when he would get drunk or whatever, and I thought, you people are crazy. I just didn't think they understood me. Kept going back, and I didn't really, I don't think, say a whole lot about the program or whatever, but I guess I was learning a whole lot. Through time, I realized that he did have a problem, that it wasn't my mom. She just wasn't the only crazy one, that my dad did have a problem, and that just wasn't a normal life. Because I didn't think anything was wrong. I honestly didn't. I went in there, and I was so blinded by just not wanting to face the facts, I guess, that I didn't want to realize that there was really something wrong with my family. I loved my dad. I loved my dad. When they told me he was sick, I guess it scared me. I didn't know. I wanted to do something then. I thought, he's sick. I have to help him. I have to make him better. He had his binges. He didn't drink all the time. So that's why I didn't think there was anything wrong with him. If you're sick, you're sick all the time. And my dad wasn't drinking all the time. So, time went on, and things began to change. I realized that there was something wrong, and that my family life wasn't just what I wanted it to be. My mom was going to Al-Anon at the time, and my dad was doing AA. I began to realize that there was things that I could do to help myself. I always concentrated on my dad. You know, it was his disease. And in the meeting, that's all I would talk about, is things that he had done. And he did this last night, and this is, my mom did this. but I never talked about what I did or how I felt when he did these things. I remember one night he came home drunk, and they were fighting. And I sat on the stairs and listened to him because I was so scared he was going to hurt her. And I was just going to run down there if he hurt her. I was going to go down there and I was going to just protect him. And I never told anybody that part of me and how I felt when he was doing this. I just talked about him and how he acted, and he was so hateful. And they asked me a question, something like, well, how did you act, or what did you do when they were doing this? And I said, well, I sat there and listened. And they told me that there was other things that I could do and I needed to do. And I guess I realized that it was a family illness. It just wasn't my dad. It affected all of us. Let's see. Wait a second. I didn't realize how dry your mouth got when you were sitting up here talking. There was a lot of people that started coming into our program, and we began to grow. I met some of the most interesting people, and I thank this program for the people that I have met and the serenity that I have found in this group. I have met some, they're just like brothers and sisters to me. I can walk in that meeting and I can say, I want to kill my dad or I want to kill my mom. And they don't think I'm crazy, and they know how I'm feeling. And I remember being able to share with those people once I did start sharing my feelings and just feeling so accepted. And it was something I had wanted for so long, to be loved. And I remember them hugging me and stuff and telling me to keep coming back at worse. And I thought, these people really care about me, you know? And it made me feel good. And so I haven't been up here very long, and it feels like I've been here forever. Gosh. Let's see. I met my best friend. I have a lot of best friends, but I guess I really can't say that. In Alateens, they came in, and I remember just feeling so close to all those people. I had a bond with them. They understood where I was coming from, and they loved me. But I remember sometimes being so mad at them because they would tell me something I didn't want to hear, and I would just get so mad at them. But then I'd realize, well, you know, maybe that's what I needed to hear. Maybe I needed to do that. I can remember when my parents started having, if my dad would get drunk or they'd have a fight or something, I could just go away and I'll sit there and listen and not think that I had to protect her. And when I realized that, I was like, wow, you know, this is kind of neat. I don't have to be in the middle of my parents' problems anymore. I always felt like I was the glue that kept them together, you know. I had to make them happy. I had to make them, you know, if they were sick or something, I had to make everything better, you know. Let's see. I met this guy, and I'm thankful for this today. He was 19 at the time, and he went to church one Sunday, and he asked me out, and we started talking, and we started dating, and things went on, and he left. At the day he called me, he had signed up for the Air Force, and he was leaving in 1 month. So we had 1 month to get together, and he left, and I stuck by him for the 6 weeks, and we wrote letters every day, and we talked on the phone, and I thought I loved this guy. I realize now that the only reason I really needed him was to make me feel loved. I needed to feel secure, and that's what he gave me. I'm grateful for that because through that I've realized that I don't need anybody to make me happy, and I love myself. Anyways, a lot of things happened with that relationship. We became engaged when I was 15. A lot of people used to tease me about it and say, you're too young, you can't get married, and they teased my mom, why you let her be engaged, and my mom never said anything to me. She just let me go ahead, and I guess she thought I knew what I was doing, even at 15, and I'm thankful that she did, because if she would have stood in my way, it just made me even more determined, and I just wanted to prove her wrong. But she just let me go, and things didn't work out, and I learned through my own mistake that love isn't always, it wasn't the love. I guess I just wanted someone to want me. For so long, I had wanted someone to hold me and to hug me and to just say, I love you. You know, my parents never, my dad especially, never really showed affection. My mom was so wrapped up with my dad that she just really didn't have a lot of time to sit down and say, I love you, or to hug me or something, you know. So that's what I needed. Things didn't work out, and I was real upset about it. During the relationship, I found out that he had a 2-year-old daughter by another woman. I'm grateful to this program, or I would have probably killed her. That's how I kept my sanity through the whole thing, was just being able to talk about it and just to have someone to listen to me. The guy and I broke up about 4 months ago. It was just like all of a sudden a light had came on, and I thought, I love this person. I'll always love him. He will always be in my heart. But I guess I just realized I didn't need him anymore. You know, and it was the best feeling I'd ever had in my life. I had felt for so long, not unloved, but unwanted. And I just thought, boy, I don't need anybody to hold me or to hug me, and I don't need someone to fill all my time. I like being by myself. And I was just, it makes me happy now, because I just, it was the best feeling I'd ever experienced. Let's see. My dad has now been sober for 2 years. It'll be 2 years in August. Oh, this is August. Well, tomorrow's August. Mm-hmm. Anyway. They still fight a lot. Well, not a lot, but occasionally. I'm learning to mind my own business and stay out of it, that it's not my problem anymore, that they're grown adults and that they can handle it themselves. Sometimes it's hard. I'm clawing this thing. Last year, the girl that stood up here, she had claw marks, and I'm starting to do it. I've learned to live my own life, not really to just live my own life, but to let go and let God. When those things come, that it's not my problem, I don't have to protect her, I just have to let go. It's not my problem anymore. At first it scared me to be that independent and not to need anybody and not to be involved in their relationship all the time. But now it's just, I don't have to worry about them anymore. You know, they're grown people. They're going to do whatever they want to do. Thursday, before I left, we were getting ready to leave. We were cleaning out the trunk of our car, and my mom had to put the jack in the trunk, and she got in the trunk, and my dad told her to set the jack up, and she said, which way? And he got real hateful, and he said some few choice words I'm not going to say. And I just looked at him and I said, Dad, you don't have to be hateful. And I should have probably not even said that. I realize that now. But he came and he got in my face, and he said a lot of things to me that hurt me. I think that's the first time. That's the first time I ever seen my dad act that way. And I didn't have the alcohol to blame it on this time. I know he's still a sick person,
But, it just hurt me. My dad never treats me like that. He was always good to me. It was the first time in my life I ever hated him. And, it was so hard for me to keep from just hitting him. I had so much anger built up when he did that. I mean, I can't stand for anyone to do that to me. He was in public. We were right along the street. And he did that, and I just thought, how can you do that to me? So I didn't say anything to him, and I just turned around and I walked back in my house. My parents started fighting after that. My mom said that she can stand to see him hurt her, but she can't stand to see him hurt me, so she got in the middle of it again, and just things went on and on, and he threw a trash bag at her. I don't know what he planned to do. I don't think it'd hurt her. But I had planned to go to the mall that same evening with Mickey, and I didn't want to go because I felt I needed to stay there. And it was that same old sick behavior coming back, and I thought, you can't do this. It's their problem. Just go on. Don't let it get to you. And I called Mickey and I said, I'll be just a few minutes late because I was upset. And my mom didn't say anything else to my dad, and he didn't say anything else. And we just kind of dropped things. And I went to the mall that night, and I talked to Mickey, and I went home, and the hatred was gone. It's hard to explain how I feel right now about my dad. I'm real confused about things. I feel grateful to him because he's always given me a home and he's always given me love. But there are so many, I guess I still have a lot of resentments that I haven't worked through. And I have a lot of resentments towards him right now, so I just really don't want to say a whole lot about it because I know I will say something I don't mean. But when we left, he came in to say something to me and I just really didn't say anything. I don't know what to say to him right now because I don't know how I feel. I just said goodbye and we walked out the door. I don't know what it's going to be like when I get home. And I started to worry about that and I thought, oh no, what if he gets drunk? What am I going to do? But it's not my problem. You know, he's a big boy and he can do whatever he chooses to do. My mom has talked about getting divorced and us moving out. And whatever she does, I'll support her. And I'll always love my dad just the same as I'll always love my mom. But I want, you know, my mom to do what's best for her. I think she stayed together for so long with my dad because of me to give me a home. And it hurts me to see my mom unhappy, you know. I guess for any child, it's hard to see your parents sad or upset. And I want her to be happy, you know, because I'm happy with myself. I worry about what will happen to my dad if my mom and I would move out. But I also know that I can't control that, that it's out of my hands. I've turned it over to my higher power, and I've just said, God, it's yours. You've got to take and do whatever you want with it. That's really about all. I don't know what else to say. I just, to all of you, if you have children, just talk to them and tell them that you love them and make them realize that it wasn't their fault if they're not in Alateen and try to get them in this program. It is the best thing in my life. I know that if nothing else, I will always have these people, all these friends that are here because they'll always be in my heart and there's always someone there that I can have. I'd like to say something about Mickey. Mickey and I, her sister, she is my best friend. But we spent a lot of time together, her sister and I. And Mickey and I never really got that close. Mickey had told me something once, and I told her sister. And I hurt Mickey by dishonoring her trust. So Mickey and I really didn't speak that. I mean, we were friends, and we were civil to one another, but we just really didn't talk that much. But in the last month, I have met one of the best people, the best friend I think a person could ever have. We have so much in common. I could say something and she'll say, that's what my mom says. Or I could say something and she'll say, yeah, I feel that way too. And it is so awesome, the friendships that you make. and the peace and serenity that you can find in undone.